Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Es un gusto
estar con ustedes.
Just had to speak a little bit of Spanish. I get to do that all the time. So, Rodrigo, one of the men in the Spanish ministry, he's getting to preach today. So, right now, that's pretty awesome. He's a good man, and I'm very thankful for him. Hey, we got to go. Denise and I got to go see Real Options this week as we were praying. Hey, it's an awesome place. Anybody, if you have never been to Real Options, you need to go. Like, they'll give you a quick tour. It's just an incredible place to see what they're doing and how they're saving lives. How they're not just saving babies, but they're actually, like, lives are being transformed. You'll be able to see along the hallway all these pictures of people and their brief testimony, and what God has done, and it's pretty incredible that even as Scott was praying for the Muslim people, there's a significant increased number of Muslim and Hindu women that are going, and some of them have come to faith, and so that's pretty incredible, and so it's amazing how through many of the ministries here in Plano, lives are being touched, and especially those that we've been wanting to reach out to in the Muslim and Hindu population. And again, I just want to say, come on May 13th. Come to our house. It'll be an awesome time. We've got Brian and Tammy Jameson that will be there that have been in many Muslim countries. And they just got some great testimonies, some great stories, and just had some practical ways of how to use the Quran, use the things that the Quran says about Jesus, Isa al-Masih, and just Jesus the Messiah, and the things that it says about that, about Jesus, and how to use that in a way to bridge a conversation and have and develop a relationship with someone from another culture. I don't know about you guys, but back in my youth, now I'm kind of an old dude now. It's kind of good. I'm able to say that I'm an old dude. But back in my youth, we certainly admired the rugged individuals that we saw in the cowboy movies. If you guys remember the Marlboro Man. Of course, I didn't smoke, but... but just other commercials, but it was all mixed in with that love generation of the 60s, the segregation of races, racial riots. I remember when my father, being a police officer, was in the middle of the Watts riot, and he and just hundreds of police officers that had to go there. But the reality is that nothing much has changed. The idols on TV, the movies, the video games now that are played, the world of mixed martial arts, and current racial riots, our political scene. We continue to admire people who are physically and appear to be emotionally strong, and that overpowers people to get their own way, which basically is a type of character that promotes self more than anything. And I think we've seen that. We want someone who we can get behind and push them to the front and lift them up. My friends, nothing's changed since I was young and even before that. And probably nothing will change in the future till Jesus comes. But for some, our desire is to have, you know, some people say, they tell me, oh, we need to have a strong America. Well, how that should be and look will vary according to who you ask, right? Nations are going to rise and fall. People come and go. You know, we've been in this series about Matthew, about the kingdom. And the people in Jesus' day certainly knew and understood kingdom in the political sense, since they were under the oppression of the great Roman Empire that stretched all the way to Rome and encompassed all the land surrounding the Mediterranean Sea and beyond, controlling people, cities, seaports, land, and all kinds of trade. Whatever they could control, they would do it. And they even, the Jewish people had their own religious system, and that was also, in one sense, controlling them. It explained to them how to be righteous. And so for the Jewish people, they yearned for an earthly kingdom. They wanted the Messiah to come and to be ruled by him, because they knew that they'd be free from the Romans, and they would possess the land, the promised land, all of it that the Messiah had promised, and God promised to them. But the Jewish people also lived under the rule of the Pharisees, the Jewish priests, who were the keepers of the law of Moses. And they even added human law. It tells us in Mark chapter 7, they added human, invented human laws also to it, that resulted in more bondage, in a way that living, and so as a result, what had to happen was Jesus had to come. The Messiah had to come to set them free. That's why he came. He came to set us free from sin and its slavery. And he would place his spirit in all of those who would believe. And so he preached his sermon so that change might occur in the lives of these people. And they might be different in this world, in a world that's gone wrong. And they, as well as us, let's just face it, when we look at the world, we are a divine minority in contrast to the great secular majority that is around us. So rarely do we hear of someone described as a person of character these days, a person that reflects maturity, integrity, and self-sacrifice. But let me tell you, I can contest to this, that we have some of those people here at PBC. Not going to name you, but God desires all of us to be people of character. And I thank you for those that I see, that I interact with probably the most. I see you guys as people of character, and people who desire to be more like Jesus. Jesus introduces us in Matthew 5 with some characteristics. You've seen some of them so far, that we should strive to see in our attitudes. That's why Larry mentioned, it's the be attitudes. Be attitudes, right? You've already seen that. And these are the heart, these attitudes, these are the heart of a servant. And Jesus knows that if these things are part of our attitude, then what's going to happen is they're going to be lived out. In us. They're going to be lived out in action and to build. And so a godlike attitude leads one to godlike action that's going to encourage and build up others. And the reverse is also true. If you don't have it, you have an ungodly attitude, that's going to lead to ungodly action that will eventually lead to discourage and tear down others. So that's why we have the Beatitudes. They are these inner qualities of the heart that will manifest themselves externally. They emulate humility, mercy, grace, peace. And as believers, we know that we are to live these attitudes. Jesus lived these out in front of us. Even in the midst of being mistreated, he lived them out. So these characteristics are of our inner life in order to know that if they are truly part of us. Let me also say, they got to be tested, because it's not something just passive that comes, like all of a sudden, hey, I'm like gentle as a lamb, you know? That just doesn't happen. And we're going to talk about gentleness today and about meekness. I think there's a reason why I was supposed to preach this sermon today, because I definitely, as I was preparing, I'm like, boy, I really need this quality more and more in my life. I'm going to talk more about that. But like a race car, that looks incredibly great. It's on, you know, it's there, and it's on the track. It looks good. It's all nice and shiny and everything. But you're not going to really know how it handles itself on the road or the track until you get in and take it for a test drive and push it to its limits. And God does that. Allows those situations in our lives. And so our hearts are test driven. These qualities that we're all looking at, so as to see the maturity, the integrity, and even self-sacrifice of a believer. So God knows that we need to make changes in our lives, adjustments, and so that we'll reflect more and more being his followers in the kingdom and not live in our own kingdom. Because either we're going to be living for his kingdom or we're going to be living for our kingdom, whatever that kingdom is. And so thus far, we've seen how we should be humble, realize our bankruptcy before God because of sin, and we recognize, and if we recognize our sin, what should we do? We should repent. We should confess. And what does he do? He gives us comfort. He gives us consolation in our lives. There's forgiveness and restoration. So now he brings us to verse 5, which is where we're going to be today. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So sometimes when we read the word meek, we think of a wimpy person, don't you? Sometimes. I mean, sometimes that happens. But let's look at what meek is. In our first one of our slides, it says that we look at it in an inwardly way. That a meek person is gentle. He's kind. It's one who is unpretentious, who is a person who doesn't attempt to impress somebody, impress others with their appearance or of their great importance, their great talent, their position at work, or maybe their culture. Maybe they think that their culture is better than yours. I experienced that in Uruguay. Uruguayans, a lot of the time, sometimes had that air of like our culture is better than others. And you get that when you're in another culture. Sometimes even as Americans, we can think that. We can be in another culture. Often happens as an expatriate or a missionary, and you begin to think like, hey, my culture of origin is better than theirs. Yeah, not good when that happens. Not many people want to be your friend when that happens, let me tell you. So you don't want to do that. But this person, and this is the kind of person who he respects people. 1 Peter 3:4 tells us, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is God's sight, in which in God's sight is very precious. So he urges us to cultivate this inner person, this hidden person of the heart. That beauty's more than skin deep, right? In the context, there is what Peter is saying. And he says human society values this outer appearance, but what God values is that inner qualities and the beatitudes that we are looking at. So a gentle disposition, a tranquil, quiet spirit that can even make, in this case, in the context, a plain-looking woman very attractive, not only to God, but also to her unsaved husband in that context. And then at verse 8, it says, finally, all of you have this unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And so a person who's gentle is a person who contributes to unity also. And he's sympathetic, brotherly love. These are things that if you know of a gentle person, a person that just, you probably have that person in mind. I have a person in mind right now. Think of a couple that I know that are, they have this in their life. And it's like, so you think like, those are the coolest people. And it's like, those are the people you want to be like. You don't want to be like, like some movie star or some movie character, you know, like John Wick that just kills people all the time, you know? You know what I mean? And so that's not someone to emulate. That is not gentleness. That's the total opposite of gentleness. And so you're probably wondering, like, why do I know about that movie, right? So don't go there, okay? But let me just tell you, you know people like that. Warren Wiersbe once said, how can you and me tell whether or not we are meek or whether we're gentle? And it says, perhaps the simplest answer, he said, is this question. Are we exercising self-control? Are we exercising self-control? So a meek or a gentle person who has this characteristic also looks at how we deal with other people. So it's something that is internal, but it manifests itself externally. Certainly, we can acknowledge before God and others that we are spiritually bankrupt, and we can mourn due to our sin. But to respond gently to another person who sees us as sinful, that's another story. I mean, if someone calls you out and says, hey, I see something happening, you know, we see ourselves as being gentle, but then sometimes it's like this comes out, right? You're saying like, what? Wait, no, I'm not like that. And we begin to react. But this meekness and this gentleness is a result of a genuine humility towards others. In Galatians 5:23-26, I don't know if it's up there, but I will. That has to be due with the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, get my old man glasses on. It says, it lists the fruits of the Spirit. And it says in verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified his flesh with passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So the opposite of gentleness is that pride, being conceited. So that means what we have to do, it says right here, we've got to keep in step with the Spirit. We've got to walk in the power of God's Spirit. So that means every day, I mean every moment, we've got to be in tune with God and have His strength and His confidence, and not our own strength and not our own confidence. Philippians 2:5-8 says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus emulated gentleness. He was gentle. You know, one of the things I like about the new series called The Chosen, I'm sure many of you have seen that, right? Yeah. And thank you, Tiffany, for raising your hand. I guess you're the only one that has seen it besides myself. Oh, a few have. Okay, good. Hey, but it's whatever you want to think about that series, and you think like, oh, I don't like this or this about the series, whatever, I'm sorry, but I like it, and I like it because I think it does show much of what the humanity of Jesus and what he probably was like, and the qualities in Matthew 5 require us to be up front. See, these things, you can't just hide and be isolated from people. You've got to be, this requires you to be upfront and personal with people. No one's going to know if you're gentle if you're not upfront and personal. No one's going to be able to see, like, if your life is being transformed if you're not upfront and personal. We cannot see gentleness played out in our lives. We got to be face to face. have time with Jesus as well as other people. That's why, you know, myself and a lot of us here, we are just like, we're like pro small group. We like small groups. Maybe you don't like small groups. I hope you like small groups. I like our small group, and but it helps. But without a small group, without people in your face in the nice way, how can you? No one's going to know if you're living these things out or not. And so, and this is kind of like the this is the great thing about our small group is that I really believe our small group, we've grown to love and accept one another. And with all our faults, and they still like me for some reason, but they still accept me. But they but it's kind of like at least I get some I get to test run some stuff on people, you know. And so thank you for letting me do that, small group, and you can do the same with me. So if you're not in a small group, I encourage you get in a small group, be part of one. In Psalm 37:11, it says, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." And the context, in this context, it talks about the proud and evildoers who are going to be cut off earlier in that in these verses, and that they will be they'll be no more. God's going to take them out, and the meek and the gentle will be free. And they can be free of paying back evil with evil and not be vengeful. He exhorts the believer, don't be vengeful. So a meek person is one also, if I just looking at the context, I would say this would be part of being a gentle person, is one who commits his way to the Lord and trusts in Jesus, trusts in God. He's confident that God's going to act in his life. He's a person who is, this is straight from the text, one who's going to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's a person who doesn't get upset over the evildoers who scheme and do their thing in this world. And he keeps himself, this is not in the, this is my words, but he keeps himself from getting worked up over all the evil in this world. What could happen when you watch CNN or Fox News, which will usually lead us not to be meek or gentle, but almost become a militant activist in attitude and our action who wants to crush the opposition and have our people in power. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants us to be people. And this gentleness, when we live out this gentleness and kindness, what does it bring about in our life? It brings about abundant peace. You have peace, a peace that passes all understanding, that God guards our hearts and minds. It is incredible. So this meekness, and just want you to know, and this is one of those dichos, an expression, sorry for the Spanish, but it's one of those expressions that that you've heard a lot where it says meekness does not mean weakness. But what it means is strength. And so from extra-biblical literature, Greek literature, there's reference to this. That is where you have a savage horse, and a horse has been brought under control and then becomes useful and displays power. So if you've ever ridden a horse, I was going to put up a video. The video won't play because it comes from a place on YouTube that our network says, no, we're not going to play that. I don't know why. But it's from The Man from Snowy River. Man from Snowy River 2. One of my all-time favorite movies. Anybody like that movie? There you go. Those people I like. And so it's an awesome movie. And we watched it. That was one of our go-to movies, like when we were just dead tired, we had a full week or a weekend of ministry, you know, on Monday, you know, sometimes we just take off from homeschool when we were in Mexico, and we would just watch, I think I've told you this before, the order was usually Anna Green Gables, And then we would watch Man from Snowy River 1, Man from Snowy River 2. So, and then by then we were fine. I don't know. but anyways, it was great. But in that, basically, I won't even tell you about the movie. You just go watch it. The opening scene of Man from Snowy River 2. But it just shows a display of horsemanship and of strength with power. Power under control. And also, I like the guy because his last name is Craig, so I've got something in common with him. But why be gentle, meek, or strong under control? Well, we know that one day in the Jewish people, they were going to experience the kingdom on earth, and during the millennium, that thousand-year reign with Christ on earth. And in other parts of Matthew 5-7, Jesus mentioned to the disciples that there's going to be rewards. They're going to inherit and possess rewards. We know that from other parts of Scripture, that they will, and the fact that these people are going to enter the kingdom of God. And like we will enter the kingdom of God for those that have faith, have possessed faith in Jesus Christ. And that in God's kingdom, they're going to be under His rule, His holy rule. So what God tells us to do is go lay up some treasure in heaven. Don't store it up here, but lay up treasure in heaven. And one of the ways you do that is being having these qualities in your life and in my life, and being gentle and kind to other people. To not only to believers, but also to unbelievers. God has given me plenty of opportunity in the past 2 weeks to apply gentleness, pointing out that I probably need to work on this. He's done that with the family in the church. We as those of us on staff, we have to work with people all the time. I know some of you also do, especially if you're a teacher, you're working with people and kids, administrators and whatever all the time, and maybe some in your other jobs but it's easy to get sideways with others, right? And then and we feel responsible, at least those of us on staff, we feel responsible for you guys, and many times we take on more responsibility than we ought to, and this often kind turns into getting us sideways with people. At least it has with me. We've got this sometimes misguided zeal in us, and it gets me in trouble sometimes. And so I'm sorry if I make you feel this way, and you feel this way from me, but it happens. There's a book, and I encourage you to read this book. I think it'll help you, and it'll help us that are on staff, and it's called People Are Pastors Too. You can go on your Kindle. It's called People Are Pastors Too. It's a great book. It's an easy read. Like, if you're a fairly fast reader, you could probably plow through it in 2 or 3 nights. It's not like lots of scripture you got to work up, you got to look up. It's just, it's stories. It's written by two guys who are pastors who work with men and women who are in ministry who are struggling in all kinds of different ways, but people are pastors too. I encourage you to read it. This in the last 2 weeks, I got kind of sideways with Denise. I know that you think, like, how in the world can that happen? She's the sweetest person in the world, which is probably true, but guess what? I'm not always the sweetest person. So, you know, and it's usually over little things, you know? You know, and I was kind of rude to her the other day about over a computer issue. And my response, and the thing is, just my response was not gentle. It was not kind. Sometimes with the staff, I get sideways and I express myself and in a way that it's not gentle. It's kind of, I'm forgetting the word in English, áspera. But anyways, I'm having a, sorry about for the Spanish moment there. But I'm a harsh. I sometimes say things harshly. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't say things harshly, but sometimes I do. But let me tell you, I'm not an expert. I'm pretty much an expert on not what to do. Okay? But I want you to know, you know, not only pray for me, you can pray for me in this way. But you know what? There's been victories. I've had victories too in the last couple of weeks with the church family and how we responded to them. But here's the deal. This is to finish up, and I'm going to ask you some pointed questions. It says, ask your spouse, would you be willing? This is a rough one, guys, or ladies. Ask your spouse to rate you from 1 to 10 regarding meekness or gentleness. Do a 1 to 10. Where do you see myself? Denise, where do you see myself? And then ask her why, you know? Ask the question, why did you put that number? Ask them if they could give you some examples of how you're not showing gentleness, and maybe some examples of how you are. Or ask a close friend. Ask your small group. And if you aren't in one, get in a small group so they can ask you. How about this? How are you being meek, gentle, or strength under control with your children, your teens, your adult kids? What would they say on a 1 to 10? What would they say? What if they were talking to somebody else, like you were the fly on the wall, and they were talking to somebody else in the room, and that other person asked them about you and your spouse? What would they say? Would they put you at a, yeah, my parents are a 9 or an 8 or a 9, or would they say, man, they're like about a 3? I don't know. What would they say? But reflect on your dealings with people in your life. How you talk about politics. Let me repeat that. How do you talk about politics? How do you talk about race? How are you gentle with people in regards to faith issues? Would you be characterized by others, Christian or non-Christian, as gentle and kind as you talk about these things? I love sometimes watching Nextdoor, the Nextdoor app. Anybody ever watch the Nextdoor app? These people, they get in so much trouble with one another, with their neighbors, and they get crossways, and it's incredible, over politics, over dogs, over lots of things, and why their fence is all halfway torn down, and why aren't they doing anything about it? And so, but how are you even on the internet, you know, with those kinds of things? Most of these kind of relate to adults, but what about you youth? Are you being gentle? Hey, youth, there's some youth over there. I see one. I see there's one laughing a lot. She's laughing at me. Are you being gentle with others? Are you bullying people? How would your classmates characterize you at school or regarding meekness or gentleness? What would they say? If you were the fly on the wall, what would they be saying about you? About what do the people on your sports team, the choir, the orchestra, or any other extracurricular activity that you participate in? Is there citizenship or rewards still in schools? There are. Hey, have you got one lately? You should. How are you doing, and how do you respond and treat your parents? Like, we always think like, hey, my parents ought to treat me with gentleness and kindness, but how are you at treating them? Your siblings, how do you treat your siblings? So you're saying, well, how can I live this out? Hey, first of all, it takes spiritual transformation. It takes, Jesus came to save us. He put his spirit in us. And so we are sinful people, and we've been separated from God and without hope. But Jesus came and saved us. placing His Holy Spirit in us. And so we have the power. We have the power to live this out. We have the power to live gentleness and kindness. So as we do that, let's do it in His strength. I don't know, maybe you're here and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never understood what He's done for you. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned. And He went to the cross. He paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and me. And He wants to enter your life. He wants to come and change it. He wants to put these inner qualities in your life. He wants to make you a new person. He wants to grant you forgiveness, consolation in your life. He wants to give you eternal life. We would all love to have you in heaven with us. So maybe if you've never haven't made that step and taken that step, let me encourage you to do that. If you haven't done that, come up and talk to me afterwards. Larry's here, Ryan's here. You can talk to one of the elders, Scott, that came up. Talk to one of us. Don't leave the day without settling that question if you have that in your mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the love that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you have called us to live out gentleness and kindness. Father, you see each one of our lives. You see where we're doing good and how we are living this out. And you can see areas of our life where, hey, we need you to transform us. We need you to take control of us. So, Father, I just pray that you will take these thoughts from the Scriptures today and take these Scriptures and play them out in our lives, Father, this week. And give us opportunity and help us to take opportunity to be gentle and kind to others. And so, Father, we need you. We want you to do that because we want people to see Jesus in us. We want your life lived out in us, to see your ever-growing, transforming life take us over. And so thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.